new year.
To you, too. And everybody out there.
Yeah. So most of it's over with. I'm assuming most people have their stuff down. No? I don't know how long people wait.
I haven't seen a lot of excessive outdoor decorations come down yet.
Indoor stuff. I did on 12/29.
Did you do outdoor stuff?
No. No, most of it's...
Not up there on the old 25-foot ladder?
No. that's in my past. No, right. Don't do that anymore. I'm past my ladder days. So, yeah. So, anyway, here we are in January, and no holidays till... What?
Probably next week.
Valentine's Day?
No, Valentine's Day?
Not the next thing people decorate for? What?
Oh, you mean outdoor decorations?
Just in general. Just
yeah,
in
you
general.
Never see a Lincoln or a Washington on
no, not
lawn.
No, not a lot of yard decoration.
Mount Rushmore. I think that's probably that would probably be something that would sell.
Not a lot of blow-ups. Yeah.
No.
You know, speaking of neighborhoods, there's a house in my new neighborhood. Our girlfriends, mostly, who listen regularly, know that I have moved from Princeton and moved into the burbs. I'm in the western burbs. And there's a house a couple blocks from mine that I pass almost every single time I head out. And it's one of those houses, and I think many neighborhoods have them, where every single window is always covered. And I see a car in and out of there. I mean, sometimes there's a car in the driveway, sometimes there's not. So it's not as if it's an empty house. And don't houses like that creep you out? Don't they make you think, oh my God, what's going on in there? Why would somebody have their windows covered all the time?
I don't understand. You know, when they talk about window treatments, in both of the places where we get to live, I have always pulled the shades all the way up, all the time.
To just open up to the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I love light.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's, I don't know what that would be. 312-981-7200.
Is there a house in your neighborhood? Because remember, that always has the windows covered. I remember that horrible story out of, was it Cleveland or Cincinnati, where that guy had those women in the house, locked in the house for 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing that people said about that house was that the windows were always covered, that you could never see inside that house. And I just always think that whatever is in there, it can't be good. Either it's a hoarder house, where it's so horrible that they just cover the window so nobody can see in, or there's just something really bad going on in there, and it just creeps me out to go by there. So
it looks, you know, like some people either themselves. I'd like to know if somebody in defense of the closed window
says that's me.
And just say a rational reason to them of why that feels the most comfortable way to live.
Oh, you know, yeah. I would be interested to hear that. Now, one of our girlfriends texts and said, that would be my house. I like privacy. Nothing bad going on.
Why have windows?
Come on, 708. How much privacy are you walking around? I mean, I find myself, now that I live in a neighborhood and there are houses nearby and houses across the street, as opposed to when I lived out in the country, and, I mean, at night, my windows weren't even covered
probably.
At night, huh?
You probably would walk around naked.
Well, I did. I did from time to time, and when I did that, I thought, oh, this is going to be scary for the meter reader if they come around while I'm strolling through. But that's what somebody suggests. I have a neighbor like that. My friend does that. She says she's a hoarder. The other one says maybe the people or person works third shift for light.
That's a good reason.
Right.
That's
somebody else says depression. And this
that's
is Kim.
Reason.
Hi, Kim. What's your explanation for this?
My explanation for this is, has got to be
couldn't remember. Remember that heard this story out of...
Okay, you got to turn your radio off, Kim.
Yeah, I got confused.
Okay.
All right, my explanation for at least the ones that I see around here are, like, possibly hoarders. I have no idea. But
yeah.
There's one particular house that we've been here for, like, 13 or 14 years. And there's one particular house that every time you pass it, a little tiny corner of a curtain in the front is up as though it was caught on a chair or a sofa or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that for 12 years. I mean,
no.
Not one thing has moved.
Changed.
Yeah. So let me ask you something, Kim.
Yeah.
The way you said it, and Kathy talked about this for a second before, do you think hoarders know they're hoarding and they're ashamed of it? Or they don't really know they're hoarding?
I don't think they know they're hoarding, but I do think that there's a whole bit of privacy going on there that they don't want other people to see. So somewhere in their recesses of their mind, they've got to know that this is wrong, you know, and not normal, but they can't, you know, it's compulsive.
Yeah, and one of our, thank you, Kim, one of our girlfriends suggests maybe there's somebody in there with Alzheimer's or with sensitivity to light. Somebody else from 815 says, I sleep from 4 p.m. to midnight. I live alone, and I don't want people checking out my electronics.
And, you must have a big TV.
And that's backed up by somebody else who says maybe they have things in there that they don't want to have stolen. It's possible, and these are all on our text line, same as our call line, 312-981-7200.
Let's talk to Jan on line 4.
Okay. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
What do you think?
I lived like that for at least 20 years.
Why?
My sister, who's 10 years older than I, she did too also. We just liked the privacy and the dark. And my mother would come over and say, you could grow mushrooms in your house all the time. And, you know, it took me a long time, but my husband didn't like it. He would come and open the blinds and I would close them. I just liked the privacy and the darkness.
Well,
and so did she.
Okay. What changed?
Well, I got old and I needed more light.
I can't see a damn thing.
Honestly. So,
well, what about your electricity bill? Is it lower now?
I don't pay attention to those. My husband does, and he doesn't complain, but I'm sure it was because we had lights on all the time.
Right.
You know,
wow.
I still have my blinds closed to face the street. You know, it's like a ranch. So.
Jan, are you involved socially with people? Do you get out?
Yes, I do.
You do, but once you're home, you want your privacy.
I want my castle. Yes, I want my privacy. I always have. My backyard was private for 30 years, so I could go out in my nightgown. Now, you know, I have to be a little more careful, but it's still somewhat private. I just like privacy.
Wow, interesting. Well, thanks for the call.
And you're welcome.
Did you have another question, Judy?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, does that extend then to our basic digital lack of privacy? Are you offline?
No, I'm online, but minimal.
Okay.
So I do have, you know, a Facebook page, but I don't use it much, so...
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Jan. And we have several more calls at 312-981-7200. Give us a call, or like many of our listeners are doing, give us a text. We'll be back after this. Somebody's watching me. Well, they're not if you have all your windows covered. And we began by my noting that not far from my new place of residence, there is a house in which all of the windows are always covered. Now, here's a couple more explanations by text. Keeping windows closed up is becoming more common among younger people because they play video games and don't want reflections on their screens. Another says, we have one of those in our cul-de-sac. It's a single guy that won't even wave at any of us in our very friendly cul-de-sac. He never opens his garage either. This has been, wait a minute, I just lost it. We are thinking he's a meth cookhouse. Not really, but we like to come up with stuff in our coffee clutches. My mother-in-law was a hoarder and knew it, was embarrassed. I was married for 10 years and I was never allowed in. My front windows were always open until a nosy neighbor moved in across the street. Our side windows have curtains and blinds that are always open, but the front window is covered. So 312-981-7200 is our number. We're just talking about the creepy house in your neighborhood that always has all the windows covered. And this is Pat. Hi, Pat. You're one of them.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about it.
Well, I have fibromyalgia, arthritis, and neuropathy. So moving around is painful. So I just don't bother because that's just an extra thing to do that I don't need to do.
What, you mean opening and closing shades?
Yes, because then you've got to get around the furniture. You know, your knees hurt, your feet hurt, your back hurts, your arms hurt. Fibromyalgia is very painful.
Yeah,
no,
that's
it is.
I understand. Well, yeah. So that's your explanation in your house.
Right.
It's just not worth opening and closing them every day.
Too much work.
Oh, gosh. All right, Pat, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay. Hi. This is Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi, good morning. You know, it's funny. You started talking about this, and I'm getting dressed for the day in the house across the street.
Are your windows
open? You're getting dressed in the house across the street?
No, Andrew.
No. The house, I can see. I have shutters on the windows.
I see. Okay.
Shutters. But anyway, the young couple, late 30s, nice people, professionals, children. The house, it's all, and my other neighbors, they always have the drapes or whatever they've got in there, shades, shut. And the house itself, I have been in it before they moved in there. It's a very dark home. But now all of these people with these explanations, you know, maybe they just don't take the time or they are playing video games. I don't know.
Yeah, or have fibromyalgia. It's curious.
But it's a good point you brought this up because I'm sure a lot of people have neighborhoods where there is a home like this.
We have a remarkable number of...
We do have a happy new year.
It's like
I love your show.
Thank you. I'm so glad
you're back on the air.
Thanks
and
a lot.
With the executives at WGN, you could be on every morning.
Well, thank you. That would involve quite a bit of commuting.
Yeah, talk about work. That would be working.
Yeah.
Okay, hon. Have a good year.
Thanks,
okay,
Jane.
You too.
Okay. This is Jackie. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Good
Hi.
Morning.
Now,
do you have
closed windows? You know, do you keep your shades down?
I used to have all my drapes, all my blinds closed because I had moved into a home that had old windows. And my husband said, oh, we'll get them replaced. Don't worry. Well, we never had the money for like 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept them closed. I didn't want to look at them. The seals were broken so that... they had the streaks in them, and they were just nasty. And then we just got new windows this year. Some windows I don't even have drapes on now. I just have them all open. I clean them all the time. I love it. But
it's like a new life.
It's wonderful. Now I'm getting, innovative inside my house because now the light's in, and it just makes you happier.
There you go. Well, thanks for the call.
No problem.
All right, Jackie.
This is not that old a house.
What?
Did I tell you about the inverse, which is leaving your windows open but having somebody stare into your house? We lived on a hill when I was growing up, so the people above us could look in.
Okay.
And I think I've told this story before, but the woman so unnerved me. And I didn't want to close my drapes. This was my bedroom, and I've always liked a lot of light.
Okay.
So my father decided that we should have a fake murder. And he would come into the room.
Rear window style.
Pretend to wrestle. And then he would take up a knife. So, she's watching. He took up a knife. And he acts like he's slamming it down on me and I fall to the floor.
Okay.
And then he goes over and he closes the drapes.
Okay.
That was all.
Did she call the police?
She's such a weird-ass lady. She didn't. But she wasn't caught.
that's like one of those stories with no ending. I mean, I would have loved if she'd called the police and the police showed up. Is that what happened? What happened in Rear Window? Didn't he call the police?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Huh.
So anyway, that was my inverse
Your wacky creative brother.
That was my dad.
Oh, your wacky creative dad.
My brother wouldn't have done that.
Ah. All right. 312-981-7200. We have a house in our neighborhood that has shades closed and has planted so many trees around the house you can barely see it. She's also a real crab. My wife and I have always referred to people like that as moles because it has to be like living underground. Remarkable number of texts here and calls as well. This is Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. I'm laughing because I live in a townhome development, and that's the norm.
Every window is covered.
Well, for the most part, I would say at least 80%. And
you?
I think I know why. Yeah, and I think I know why.
Okay.
It's because of the density. You know what I mean? Like, in when you live in a regular single-family home development, you know, the garage doors are open, people are out in their yards. I mean, you see people. In townhome developments, the garage door goes up, the car goes in, the door goes down, and that's it. And the only people you see are the dog people, you know, walking their dogs, and people with small children. Otherwise, everything's closed. And I think it has to do with density. I really do.
It's an interesting take.
Yeah.
So that's all I can figure. But it's funny because I look around my place and everything's down, but everything is light filtering. So I get tons of light, and I have skylights too, now that I think about it. So I have a lot of light. There's nothing dark in this place. It's all light.
But then it's all light, you. But the window, nobody can see in.
Nobody can see in it. And I know in the winter, because of the types of windows they are, when the cellular blinds are down, it really makes a difference insulation-wise. Because otherwise, it's cold. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's very cold. So they in the winter, it's an insulation thing. But yeah, I'm laughing, going, oh my God, that's normal in my neighborhood.
Interesting. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Karen.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. 312-981-7200. Here's Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I have two bathrooms in the front of my house, and so I always keep the blinds down.
Okay, but how about the other windows? Are there other windows in your house that are open?
All open.
Okay.
Everything else is open.
Okay.
But it was funny because I was at a party once, and so this guy said to me, well, these people always keep their blinds closed. And I said, because the bathrooms are in front of the house. So it makes sense.
I can understand having bathroom windows that are, you know, clouded over, covered. But that's understandable. Every single window in a house, that just creeps me out. So, thank you, Susan.
Okay,
thanks.
Have a good day.
We bought our house from a gal with agoraphobia. The window was always covered. We keep one room with shades down to keep the sun from hurting the antique furniture. Understood. Chuckling out loud, I moved in with my father 2 years ago, and he never closes his blinds. I suspect it's because he doesn't want to miss anything. Because older people do have a tendency to do that. What? Where's she going? Who's coming to visit so and so?
You've got a window that affords that.
What do you mean?
Your living room window.
The front window. Right,
if you chose to sit in a nice lazy boy girl.
And just sit there and watch the world come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Privacy.
You can log it in.
Privacy and not wanting my dog to bark at everything.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We also got one from an appraiser that, of course, I can't find now, but says that most people, the way that he or she put it was most people who have all their windows covered are usually quirky.
Is that in quotes?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Equally weird is the big, beautiful Victorian house in my affluent neighborhood that has zero window treatments, even on the bedrooms. Otherwise, it is well-maintained. This has been a decade or more. Wouldn't that be one of the first things you would install in a new house? Well, Judy, you know, my house in the country had these beautiful old, 150-year-old, and arched windows.
Right.
And in the living room, they went from ceiling to floor. I didn't have curtains on them.
Treatment, no.
And I took all the window treatments off when I moved in because they were such beautiful windows. Now, that might not be the case if the house had been in a suburb or if there had been, you know, nearby neighbors, but out in the country, it just afforded me a beautiful view of the wildlife and the trees and the beautiful yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
How do you relate to this topic?
Well, our neighbors across the street I went from neighbors that she would literally look out her window with binoculars and tell me about decorations in my dining room.
Oh, my God.
They moved. they moved, and a young couple moved in there during the summer. They have never once lifted their shade. And we think that they're either nudists or video gamers.
That comes up. This comes up in several of the texts as well, that people may like. The appraiser said that one of the homes was a guy who was a cross-dresser and probably didn't want people, you know, he wanted to be able to move about his house freely without being talked about.
I like sunshine too much.
Yeah, I do too.
If I was a cross-dresser, I'd want people to see my new outfits.
Okay, Caitlin.
All right, Mary, thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, there's not a privacy issue there as far as Caitlin is concerned. Well, thank you for all your calls and for all your texts. This turned out to be an unknown, what did you call it, Judy? A secret gold mine?
Yeah, I forgot what
I
called
whatever.
It.
So anyway, apparently mine is not the only neighborhood that has a house with the windows closed all of the time. Right now it's 10:30. That means it's time for news. When we come back, should we talk then about compliments?
Yes, that's such a good idea, Kathy.
How much you like or dislike or trust compliments.
Kathy and Judy back.
You know our number is 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. You did a lot of that in the last half hour.
And you know what? You all look so good today.
What a nice compliment.
Right. I read an article about what I thought was some very needy people who crave compliments and know it, and they know they really need them. And I think I'm more of the kind of person that, like, I'll say to you, Kath, I'll say, you're having a good hair day.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And I'll usually say, thanks. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But I don't say that all the time. Now, I remember there was somebody who used to work at WGN when we were working full time, mm-hmm. who you never were able to pass in the hall without, you know, it could be like, what a beautiful left earring you have.
Oh,
you know,
right. You know. Right. And I think I said that when we did the promo. There are certain people I know who do nothing but compliment. Every Facebook response, everything that's ever said, beautiful child, you are so smart. And when somebody does nothing but compliment, then
they have no value.
They're useless, right. They're not.
Right.
Right.
Right. But I'd like to hear from our girlfriends what their relationship is with compliments, if they feel they get enough, if they feel that they need to be giving them more, because they tend not to do that. You know, they're not very frequent. I got a compliment yesterday.
And it was?
It was, you look cute in that. And I had light blue jeans on and another color blue top, and I had my blue glasses on, and I had no makeup on, mm-hmm. so I don't know how clean the glasses were of the complimenter, which was my husband. But, you know, it made me feel good, but I don't expect that too much.
Right.
And I tell him when he looks especially good, but not, you know, we don't do it 7 times a week or even 2 times a week.
Right. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number, and this is another Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I've always been very uncomfortable with compliments. And I had a boss one time who, whenever somebody would say something like, you have a nice shirt, and I would go, are you kidding, this old thing?
Oh.
he finally said to me, you know you're insulting them. You're telling them they have bad taste because they like your shirt. So his advice was, you say thank you and you let it go. And it's worked.
Right.
It's really
just accept
hard.
It. Just absorb it. Right.
It's exactly. Really hard to learn to say thank you.
Because I
don't know if I ever said this old thing. I might have said I've had this for years and never heard that or
right.
I've had this for years.
It's like when you hear a strange child's name and you say, "Oh, is that a family name?"
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh. Well, that might be somewhat inappropriate, but all right, that's not bad advice, Judy. That's good advice. Just thank if you're complimented, just say thank you. Exactly. All right, take care.
And we do often make excuses for compliments.
Well, a 708er texter says, I'm very uncomfortable with compliments. I don't know why. I guess I'm just not used to them. And one of our girlfriends says, I like to compliment men on their cars. At first, they're taken aback that a woman does it, but then a smile comes on their face. I think I would probably be loath to do that because I would be afraid that it would require a follow-up. Oh, and what a gorgeous car. And then the guy would say, yeah, it's a 408 Hemi with a double-barreled Yamama.
Oh, and I think they would say, you know, you have a great car. You ought to see what else I got.
Ew. Ew. 312-981-7200. Hi, Christy.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I was just listening, and I just had a thought come to mind with compliment of when, I don't know if you guys have read the book, The Five Love Languages.
And no.
A lot of times, that is one of the languages. Like, if you have a spouse that craves, like, physical attention, like needs a you know, a rub on the back or holding hands, that's part of their love language. Sometimes the love language is words of affirmation, which would be a compliment. So some people that give that all the time are probably ones that would like to receive a compliment all the time. That's probably their strong love language as well. So I think it kind of depends on the person and their love language.
How could it be a love language if it's someone you barely know? I mean, I certainly, at Kathy and Judy conventions, when I know they're all girlfriends, but I may not know individual people and say, oh, what a great jacket. That's not a love language, is it? It's just a compliment.
Well, it is a compliment, but that would be something that they would crave as a part of their love. You know, I'm just thinking that way because I know a lot of people want to give what they want to receive. You know?
I think you're right.
To gain respect. So they're given a bunch of love language. Their love language is words of affirmation, so they're giving that because in subconsciously that's what you think that you're going to receive back.
Interesting.
Christy, I have to ask you, what prompted you to buy a book called Love Languages?
It's called The Five Love Languages. It's about how to communicate well with people and especially like a spouse. So because people, I think my spouse might like gifts. Well, he doesn't really like gifts. He would rather, you know, have me do something for him, like help him cut the lawn or something like that.
So we all know.
Communicating.
Oh. You're not in sales or anything?
Pardon me?
Are you in sales?
No, not at all. I'm a personal trainer and a coach, so I deal with people all the time. So.
As a personal trainer, I imagine that compliments are part of your business language.
It is, and you always have to, you have to weasel your way into saying something, I don't want to say negative, but something that needs to be, you know, accomplished or worked on in a positive way to get a positive result. So, and you have to find out what that type of person is, too. So,
right, whether somebody is competitive with others or competitive with themselves, and tailor your compliments to that.
Exactly. Or is a softy and needs to not be yelled at. So, yeah, love languages are huge, kind of, I guess, in what I do.
Okay. So what do you do if you have someone that's paranoid? What's a nice way to say you're really paranoid?
Are you
paranoid?
Talking about, in my work?
Yeah.
What do you mean paranoid?
Like always thinking they're going to lose their job or something like that, and they're doing just fine.
So she's a personal trainer?
She's a life coach, aren't you?
Yeah, well, that's a lot of what I do. It's not all about, muscles and movements and joints and things like that. It's a lot of getting into someone's mind, and that's kind of the number one thing with a bunch of questions that you have to ask, you know, before, during, I don't want to say an after because it's always ongoing, but, it's everybody's different. Everybody's different of finding what that language is that they're going to, you know,
respond to. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, you would get an A on the test if someone tested you on this book because you really, you've really got it down.
Thanks, Christy.
Yeah. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks. One of our texters addresses something that we talked about in the last couple of weeks, and that is pictures posted on Facebook, everyone says, beautiful, beautiful family. You look beautiful. And it's just simply not always true.
And the monkey babies.
Right, particularly in the case of newborn babies. Because newborn babies look like newts, generally.
Or are dried up apricot.
Right. Newborn babies, they're beautiful because they're blue and they're, you know, just hatched. But in terms of the traditional meaning of beautiful, I see that all the time. They're just beautiful is overused, and our texter tends to agree with it. As a teacher, texts another 309er. As a teacher, I used to compliment my students on outfits or clothes to show I noticed them. I taught kindergarten. I taught PE to kindergarten through eighth graders. It's like,
well,
nice
don't
outfit.
You wear that, a gym outfit?
I don't know. 847 says a compliment's a great way to break the ice. I have a friend who simply cannot say anything the least bit critical in any situation, work, social, whatever, even when it's so apparent that whatever it is isn't awesome or beautiful or incredible. The result is that it's sort of an empty compliment. They're meaningless and generic. There's a scene in Sisters, which is a really stupid movie. But I saw it yesterday where they're trying outfits on in the store that has clothes that are so inappropriate for their middle-aged women. And this girl named Braylee or Brandy or something like that, everything they put on, she goes, that looks awesome on you. That looks awesome on you. So I was going to say great show, ladies, but I don't want you to think I'm complimenting you needlessly. Newborn babies, Lord forgive me, look like Winston Churchill. Agreed. 312-981-7200. This is another Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, girls. Glad you're back.
Thanks.
I'm an over-complimenter.
Why?
Well, I work at a bingo on Wednesday. You know, all the old people come, and I sell cards. And when the ladies come with the nice earrings or a pretty sweatshirt, I'm always saying something. They probably think I don't mean it, but I do. And I always think when they're older and this is their only day out that they maybe enjoy somebody saying nice about their outfit or their earrings.
Now, Kathy, the concept of a pretty sweatshirt is really hard for me. I just want to stop you there. But also, do you feel that, I mean, each person coming to get a card from you, you feel you have to say something?
No, not everybody, but there are some ladies that, they always dress up and they always look so nice. And I think it's their only outing of the week, and maybe it makes them feel good. And they do look nice. I don't mean it, but they, after you said all that, I thought, oh, gee, maybe I'm overdoing it.
Do you know, Kathy, if you do the same thing with people not of a certain age? Do you do the same thing with teenagers and people who are in their 30s and 40s?
Not so much.
You do it mostly with old people.
With the older people, yeah. I mean, there's younger people that come to this bingo, too, but it's mostly, I'm 72, so it's 60s and 70s, and young people, and I don't know. They just seem like maybe they seem needy. I don't know.
Right. You're just being kind. How are you in terms of getting compliments?
Well, there's nothing about me that should have a compliment.
Ooh.
Oh,
wow.
There you go.
Kathy, Kathy.
I think I'm from the generation where, you know, you were so busy with your family that you shouldn't be doing anything for yourself. That's how I was brought up.
Oh, my gosh. Are you Southside Irish?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of Irish. I'm adopted, but my mom was Irish. And, in fact, Kathy, I raised my family in Rolling Meadows.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, Kathy, but I can't take a compliment. I don't think I'm good at it.
Now, you said that you were raised at a time where it was about taking care of others and not taking care of yourself. Do you, at age 72, do you buy makeup?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not that it does much good. But
oh, my God. Do you get your hair done regularly?
Pardon me?
Do you get your hair done regularly?
Oh, yeah.
Do you color it?
Yes, but I'm trying to let it grow out, but my daughter is like, don't let it grow out.
Don't let it grow out.
Okay.
Because you're not going to like it better than you probably like it colored, because you're so hard on yourself.
Yeah, probably. And I think some people look beautiful with the gray or white hair. But I think I probably should do it again. I think I'll take your advice.
How long are your roots now?
Oh, they're just about 3 inches. But I don't have too much gray, just one big spot in the back.
That's unusual.
Kathy, are you still married?
I am married, yes.
How about Mr. Kathy? How is he with compliments, or is he sort of dismissive?
No, he's okay with him. He likes him. He's a handsome, white-haired man, and everybody compliments him.
No, how about you? How does he compliment you?
Yeah.
Oh, he's always very nice to me, yes.
Does he say, you know what, Kath, you look really good today?
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. He's blind. Not really, but...
You got them all, don't you, Kath?
Yeah,
you got all those ways to shut down a compliment.
Yeah, but my windows, I always have my blinds open. So
if people want to look at an ugly old lady, there you go, right?
It's not Kathy.
Oh, man. Well, Kathy.
Well, you're very dear.
You are very dear.
But it's most important.
I've never called before. I've always been too shy or whatever. I'm not really a shy person, but I always wanted to call, and you ladies are very lovely, and thank you for all your good times on the radio.
You're welcome. We're glad you're listening.
Thanks,
Kath.
Okay.
We'll be back with more calls and texts at 312-981-7200. Kathy and Judy were talking about complimenters and over-complimenters.
And under-receivers, people who just can't take a compliment.
Right.
And, you know, so what do some of the texts say? Because I can't see them.
The texts are pretty funny because somebody sent a picture of a baby. We were talking about babies and how people will post pictures of babies on Facebook. And this is from 708. And this person says, except for this baby. This is his hospital and going home picture. Beautiful. He looks like a new baby. I always say, give him a month. In a month, they start to look like people. And, whatever. Somebody else says, what is wrong with being polite? I think there's a difference between being polite and
not
being
truthful.
And being an over-complimenter, right. 312-981-7200. And this is Joan. Hey, Joan.
Hello.
Hello.
First of all, I'm 82 years old.
Okay.
I was going to this wedding, and I said to my best friend, oh, I don't know what to wear. I just don't know what to wear. I didn't really want to buy anything new because I don't go out fancy dress that much. So anyway, I ended up wearing what I, and she said to me, she says, well, I don't know what you're making such a big deal out of it. She says, nobody's going to look at you anyway. I was so hurt.
I don't think that's a terrible thing to say. I mean, we all get stupid
anyway,
over wedding things, and no one does care about us.
And
not because we're old, we're just not the bride.
Then I went to this wedding, and somebody said to the groom's mother-in-law, and I saw the groom's mother-in-law on Christmas, and someone said to her, who is that lady over there, meaning me? And she says, oh, she says, she says, that's my son-in-law's mother. So she knew I was old. I'm gray-headed, but I mean, you know. She says, oh, she says, well, she is so attractive, and she's dressed so nice. And, I mean, she really gave me a great compliment. And I said, you know, my son-in-law's mother, I says, well, thank you. She says, but I don't know who it was that said it to me. So I
it's a compliment, you know, no matter where it came from.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So you're going to wear that outfit again?
Well, probably. It was a black dress, and it was sleeveless, and it was, you know, it was just like in November. And
right.
I thought, what can I wear over this? Well, I had just bought a black sweater, which had bangles on the front. You know?
Right.
So I did throw that over me because I'm cold.
Because that's what you do.
Right,
Jane Fonda throws a little shawl over those arms now.
Really, that, I love that dress. I bought it at Carson's, and it was on sale, and it was like $9.
Well,
really,
it's a classic. Dress. There you go.
And
glad you were listening.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joan.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
312-981-7200. We're talking about compliments and how well you accept them or how often you give them. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I think the people that are working in the department stores now are undergoing a new type of training. You can't walk in any department in the department stores without one of them saying, oh, hi, love your shoes. Oh, cute jacket. Love your purse.
Oh,
really?
Yes. Where do you shop?
I'm sorry?
Where do you shop?
Nordstrom.
I think that is part of the Nordstrom training program.
Ethos.
We've talked about this before. When you walk into Nordstrom, you are, I hate to say barraged, but you certainly are sold. Every single salesperson that you walk by has something to say.
Exactly.
Whether it's a compliment on your outfit or your jewelry or how glad you are that you're there, how glad they are that you're there.
You know what? They just say, can I help you? To me. Don't say nothing.
Well, you got to clean up a little bit, maybe, June, when you go to the store.
You mean shower?
I don't get that very often. Can I help you?
Really? Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No, they just, you know, throw out these compliments, and I just smile and say, thank you. I know you really don't mean it, but thank you.
Right.
Have you ever
it gets you through faster.
Anybody say, especially in a dress or a pants or I don't know, whatever everybody wears, but have you ever had anybody say, you know, I don't think that's right for you?
In a department store, wow.
If you're considering something.
Actually, if you're trying to decide between two things, I have had people say, I think the red one works better. I have had them say, rather than the purple one, is not good on you.
Yeah. I've had that. And very, very rarely have I ever heard anyone say, you know, that's just not working.
Yeah.
I want to try something else.
There you go. Thank you, Susan.
Okay.
And grandparents and great uncles and great aunts continue to text us pictures of the babies that they feel are the exception to our rule that newborn babies aren't that beautiful.
I would stop sending those if I were you, Joel. It's not going to help.
312-981-7200. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What's your comment on compliments?
Oh, I just want to tell you, I recently saw something. I think it was on the Internet or Facebook, one of the two. And it was about this young teacher, a young male teacher, probably in his late 20s, teaching children. He was teaching children, special needs children. And he would sit at the front of the class. And the children's classroom looked like there was about 8 or 9 kids. And he'd bring each one of them up, and he would tell them every morning that he would give them compliments. He would tell them what a great student they are.
This is a video going around, right?
Yeah.
I think I've seen that, yes.
And I thought this was just wonderful to give these kids these affirmations that already have struggles in life. But do you think that
I don't know the age of the kids.
They were like second or third grade, wouldn't you say?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay, because as you get older, I think seeing that it was done to the other 8 kids in my class would devalue it. Second grader, I don't know. I mean,
I think that, I don't know because, you know, I don't know what the special needs of these children are. You know, but I think about things like bullying and things like that, that they might, you know, they might enter into that later on, that maybe they have building their self-esteem.
Right.
Maybe they'll be armed with that.
Yeah, it was sweet. He said, Mike is working very hard. He's a lot of fun to be with.
Right.
Those kind of compliments. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lisa.
You bet. Thank you.
312-981-7200. You're listening to Kathy and Judy. Kathy and Judy back. One quick follow-up from the topic last half hour about compliments. And we were talking about department stores, how they don't they always compliment you. They seldom say that outfit doesn't look good, or like in Sisters, where the salesperson goes, that looks amazing for everything they put on. From 847, I was shopping at Yonkers in Iowa City on Christmas, and I was looking for outfits for my mother, and the salesperson came. My mother is a size 4. This is the listener. And the sales lady approached me and said, oh, honey, I don't think you're a small. She said, I looked at her and walked out of the store. So send no more baby pictures. I'm the exception that makes the rule. My grandson was just born, and when I first saw him, I thought, looks aren't everything. He's getting better, but I don't think modeling is in his future. Thank you, Grandma, for being realistic.
And we had a realistic mother call. We just didn't have time to take her, and I think her name was Shelley. But she said, I had a really ugly baby, and all those compliments were just worthless.
Right.
And we did that once on the show about those of us who had unattractive babies,
right. And my daughter Colleen, now really beautiful, was not the world's cutest baby. So it's nothing about their future. It's just about their present, and they're not often all that cute. Speaking of babies, I was having a conversation with some friends the other night about baby names. And now, because most people go and have ultrasounds and they know if it's a boy or a girl, they've chosen the name for the baby long before it's born. Oh, yes, you know, cilantro is going to be born in March or whatever. But there was a time when baby names, one of the people that I was with said that in her family, there was one of the children who wasn't named until he was baptized because the church insisted he have a name. And I said, well, what was he called in the family? And he was just called the baby. And until they said, all right, let's call him Mike or whatever they decided on. And I just wonder, that got us to talking at that time about names. And I don't know if it still happens that babies are named, and for a couple weeks you're calling her Sarah, and at some point one of you says, she feels more like a Kiki to me, or whatever, and you begin to call the kid something different than what you started.
Without legally changing?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but I think sometimes the name that you pick doesn't fit. And how do you know with a baby? I mean, it's just,
right.
They just all look like babies.
But it's some ephemeral thing. It really is. You know, I can see that if you decide, because you think it's a great name, Samantha, and you decide, well, we're not going to call her Samantha. That's too long. We're going to call her Sam.
Right.
And she's this little delicate, you know, 6-pound thing with a perfect little mouth and everything like that. You know, that you decide she can't be Sam.
She has to be
too long.
Right. That she has to be a Lisa or some
or
delicate
Lisa.
Or Alyssa or, yeah, some delicate name. So if you can relate to that, to the kid's name not being, I had my friend Michael, I didn't know for years after I knew him that his given name was Thomas. He was
Thomas Michael?
He was Thomas Michael. Yeah. And I knew him for probably 10 or 15 years before somehow it came up. I can't remember. But nobody in his family ever called him Thomas, which was his father's name. They always called him Michael or Mike. And that was a surprise to me. So 312-981-7200, you can call us or text us if there was in your family or in your circle of friends an issue about baby names.
The wrong name.
You gave this baby the wrong name, or you really wanted to call it by its middle name, or that you couldn't come up with one.
You know, my ex-husband.
Yes.
His name, he was born with the name
Tom.
Eric Thomas. No.
What was it?
Eric Thomas.
Okay.
And right away, they began calling him Tom. And so when he went to school and the teacher said Eric Markey, he didn't know.
He didn't know who that was.
His presence.
Right.
No. And then that really bothered him because nobody, you know, the parents didn't know that it was going to be Eric Markey.
In the records.
And so he finally legally changed it.
Huh. Did that, you know what that reminds me of? This is a total Kathy and Judy detour. The Key and Peele video about the substitute teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Where Keegan-Michael Key comes into the classroom and he's the substitute teacher and he's not going to take any crap from anybody, which is usually what happens with substitute teachers. And he begins calling
and he's African-American.
Yeah. And he mispronounces everybody's name. And the kids, they don't recognize the name. It's like Eric Markey. The last name may be right, but the first name is not Aaron. It's Aaron.
are we allowed to play that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it would be as funny just sound-wise as it would visually. I don't know.
Oh, it is, because I first heard it sound-wise.
Oh, did you?
And I was laughing my butt off.
Well, maybe it is something that we could play, or certainly that we could put a link to on our page. But we'll continue with your calls and your texts, 312-981-7200. And this is Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, ladies. How are you today? I'm sorry.
Great.
I don't have much of a voice.
No, it's okay. You got the thing that's going around.
I do. I'm finally getting over it. Anyway, my mom's probably listening because she always does. But this is really her story. She's going to be 70 this year. So back in the day, she was at boarding school and went to get some type of legal document. She was probably 16 or 17, and there was no record of her. And she called her mom and said, Mom, I don't understand. There's no record. And my grandmother says, I don't know, you know. And then a little while later, she called her back and went, geez, you know, I totally forgot. We named you Carol when you were born. When you were about 6 months old, we decided we wanted to call you Mary. So we just called you Mary.
So she had no idea until she went to find some official records that she was really a Carol.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we were talking about. Now, that's in the past, and I'm not sure if that ever happens anymore. But thanks for your...
I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Hope you feel better soon. It runs about 10 days.
Okay.
The thing.
Right.
I'm just getting over it myself. This is Ginny. Hi, Ginny.
Hi.
Hi.
My real name is Virginia.
Okay.
And before I was born in 1939,
mm-hmm.
and my parents had decided that I would be Bonnie LeRae. And when my dad took a look at me when I was born, he said, no, she's not a Bonnie, she's a Virginia. So they changed my name the minute I was born.
They just looked at you and said, no, she's a Virginia.
Yeah.
So had they put Bonnie LeRae on the birth certificate?
No.
Oh, they hadn't?
No.
Interesting.
Okay, so they didn't have to go to court.
Well, you sound like a Ginny, too.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ginny.
I take compliments well.
There, you did. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
My mom's name, says a texter, is Lois Elaine, and from birth she was always called Elaine. And that's a good thing, considering she married a man named Clark. Lois Clark. Superman.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Was that worthy of a big reaction? I'm
no,
sorry.
No, I just expected you to acknowledge. Judy and I aren't sitting across the desk from each other. Judy's in her Arizona kitchen, and I'm here, and we're looking at each other through Skype. So it's a little bit different. When my son was born, we named him Lee Michael. He looked more like a Mike, so before he was five, we had it legally changed. All they did was scratch Lee and wrote Michael. And wrote Lee and stamped it. That seems real official. 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. Kathy and Judy back. We're talking about babies and baby names. And one of our texters said that he had a friend, he or she had a friend who was born at home. He was the 14 out of 15 born at home. His birth certificate has no name. and his parents celebrated his birthday on the wrong day till he was 13. I guess if you have 15 kids, it's kind of hard to keep track of when those all are.
Did he finally get a name?
He must have.
Or is he just known as 15? 14,
yeah, 14, right. 312-981-7200. A cousin is named after an uncle with two Wesleys in the family, called him by his middle name, Jim. Years later, when we were in college, people would ask for Wes, and I didn't know who they were talking about because I knew him as Jim. This is Carol. Hi, Carol. What's your name story?
My cousin was named Betty on her, named Harriet on her birth certificate. She got into a very, very bad accident. And I went to visit her, and they said she's totally non-responsive. Well, we always called her Betty or Ace. And I walked in the room and said, "Hi, Ace." And she turned and looked at me and said, "Hi, how you doing?"
And that brought her out of a coma?
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
And, I mean, she lived through the accident and everything. She's passed away since then, but all the nurses looked at me like, that's a miracle.
What did her obit have her name as?
As Betty.
As Betty, right.
That's what everybody knew her, yeah.
Okay, very funny. A coma breaker.
Yeah. You're very powerful, Carol.
Yes, you
that's
are,
a compliment.
Carol.
I'm a retired nurse, and I was the nurse of the day that day.
I'll bet you were. I'll bet. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. This is Sandy with an international piece of information. Hey, Sandy.
Hi there.
Hi.
My husband and I were teaching in China, and it was amazing because the names just fit each one of the people. And the kids in our class, we finally asked, why do the names fit so well? And they said, we said, where did you get your English name? And their English teachers had given them the names when they were in high school or junior high school or something.
Based on their personalities?
Yes, exactly. And they really did. That's why they fit so well.
Do you ever do the thing where you look at, I do, you look at your own children, and obviously they say, oh, of course he's a Pat. Of course she's a Colleen. And think, what would it be like if he were a Kevin or if she were a Sharon?
You mean like it would have been a whole different life path?
No, just like, everybody, it seems like everybody grows into their names.
Well, I don't know, but it was a good idea to name them when they actually had grown into who they were meant to be.
And the teacher saw that and fixed appropriately.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. How long did you do that, Sandy?
Oh, we did it for a couple of years. We just went over for a few weeks each time, but it was wonderful. We taught the kids that had failed to make the grade for free education beyond high school.
Ah.
And so their families would pool their money and pay to have them go to a pay college. And so we taught English. One of the things was they had to be able to speak good English or they couldn't make the cut. And so we taught them in English. And then we had a translator. But nevertheless, you could tell that the kids were getting it. You could tell the ones that really spoke good English or that were getting it because when you told a joke, they would laugh first and the other ones would wait for the translator.
Funny. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Speaking of names,
I never had a teacher tell a joke ever.
That really made you laugh.
Well, they made me laugh sometimes, but not with a joke. You can laugh without a joke.
Oh, I see. Okay. Like this, from 847. We have nephews named Chief, Donegan, and Saber. These kids have had an awful time in school. 312-981-7200. Dale.
Hey there, ladies.
Hey, how do you relate to name?
So I have friends who waited 6 months to name their kids until their personality developed, and they would talk about it every day to see what worked and what didn't, what sounded good based on the personality, and they would then come up with a name after 6 months.
And what was the name? Do you remember?
Oh, it was it depended. I mean, there was
any number of people, right?
Yeah. The last name was Brasso, so it just whatever worked. So he ended up sounding or his personality developed like a Michael or like a Tom. or a Tim. It wasn't that they were unique names. It was just that they were...
they were just waiting to see who they were turning out to be.
Yeah, and then I also have a friend whose parents intentionally named him with a unique first name, Olaf, and a more normal middle name, Andrew, so that when he was old enough to decide on his own, he could choose either to be Olaf, Andrew, or Andy. And
oh, well, guess what he didn't choose.
No, he went to MIT. He is one of the smartest people I know, and he has always been Olaf.
Oh, he chose Olaf.
Absolutely. He is. If you just looked at a picture of him or ever met him, you would say, that's Olaf. That's not Andrew or Andy in any way.
Wow.
Boy, I don't have any, like, Olafian things in my head to
define there's a
that.
University. Isn't there a St. Olaf's University in
Olaf.
Minnesota?
There's a snowman named Olaf.
That's right, in Frozen, right. Right. Very funny.
Escapes me.
Dale, thank you. Dale?
Dale left.
Thank you, Dale.
Called Olaf. Let's talk to Anna on line 5.
Hi, Anna.
Yes, I was born in Poland. I was given name Anna. However, when I was growing up, I could not pronounce my name, which also was a pet name for Anusha. So I called myself Usha.
Okay.
And my parents would call me Usha, and all the kids in school call me Usha. When I came to America, that thing ended. I'm Anna. But whenever I bump into my friends from my old town, they call me Ushka.
Okay, but you couldn't pronounce Anna when you were little.
No.
Anna, Anusha is also a pet name for Anna.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So what?
So I call myself Usha.
What do you call your, I mean, you're on our call line is Anna. But
yes.
You also call yourself Usha?
Yes, my friends, my family call me Usha, which is also a pet name for Ursula.
That's very confusing. What country is this? Poland?
Poland, yes.
Poland. So it's either Anna, Usha, Anusha, but Anusha is also a nickname for Ursula.
Yes, Usha.
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 Usha. Usha.
Usha.
It's also for Ursula.
Okay. All right, well, we're comfortable with Anna.
Yeah, we'll stay with Anna. It's
okay. Happy New Year, Anna.
Happy New Year to you too, ladies.
Thanks.
Love your show.
Thank you. Speaking
bye-bye.
Of Anna, one of our texters says, my wife is pregnant with girl twins. For one of the girls, she wants the given name to be Hannah, but call her Annie. I wanted to get your opinion, or is it acceptable or annoying? Personally, I just want to name her and call her Annie. But my wife doesn't think Annie will be a good grown-up name.
I think it's a great grown-up name.
Annie? I do, too. And if she doesn't like Annie, she can always go with Anne.
In fact, I think I named a character in my first unpublished book, Annie.
It's a great name. It's a great name. 815 had neighbors whose kids were Marky, a girl, Hudson, and Jubilee, and their dog was named Dan.
These things happen.
Yes,
there's
they
no
do.
Explanation.
Bob, do you want us to go straight to news or take care of some business? We'll just go straight to news as long as Veronica's over there and ready. It's time for the 11:30 news at 11:31. Kathy and Judy back.
Bossy girls they are. I want to turn to something that's a little heavier than what we've been talking about, but it's also more agitating and troubling, and it asks a good question. The headline that I saw on the editorial page of the New York Times the last day of 2015 was, "No More Statutes of Limitations for Rape." And I'm going, yeah, not knowing too much about the story.
Right.
So here's what I've learned. The Pennsylvania, where the charges have gone to Bill Cosby, has been charged with this rape, is the statute of limitations is 12 years. The incident took place January 15th, 2004.
So they're 2 weeks from the ending of the statute
exactly.
of limitations. Right.
So if the prosecutors had delayed in any way, they would not have been able to bring charges against this guy.
Right.
This guy. And he in Pennsylvania, it's 12 years. In other states, it's a different amount of years. There's 34 states out of 50 that have statute of limitations on rapes. So basically, depending on your zip code, you can be, well, that's probably true of a lot of things. You can be prosecuted for this or not. The thing about why they put a statute of limitations on this, it's a different kind of crime than a lot of crimes, where if you murder somebody, if there's a murder, there's a dead body. If there's a robbery, there's an absence of money. With rape, it's different because there is a potential deterioration of evidence.
Right.
And they feel by having the statute of limitations, they, you know, are covering their butts on that because the evidence would still be viable. And to encourage plaintiffs to bring cases or reports of this crime swiftly. Well, it doesn't happen. About a third of the people who are raped don't report the crime right away, especially if it's somebody they know, and that applies in four-fifths of the cases. The Justice Department says rape and sexual assault are the least reported of violent crimes. Again, only a third are reported. The reason survivors don't go to the police is the well-founded fear they won't be believed, and another is that they could be accused of lying or even be prosecuted themselves. So it is a different kind of crime than any other crime. I personally am not sure I believe in a statute of limitations on anything. But that having been said, we're talking about this crime. And I think that it would be fabulous to take this off the books in the 34 states that have it. I really do. I agree
so
with everything in this.
Okay,
editorial.
So that technically 30 years after being raped, a woman who was raped when she was 16 by a next-door neighbor and didn't want to say anything could come at the age of 48 and charge him with rape.
Yeah. It'd be hard to prove.
Right.
I mean, that would be the case. But this is a crime that is so fraught with silence.
Oh,
and
right.
So fraught with fear. And if only 20% of the rapes that are committed are reported, you know, it doesn't happen very much. The fact that if they could have brought the number of women, I don't know if it's 37 or 50, who have made similar complaints, who are now pushing a civil suit against Bill Cosby into the courtroom, and you would hear them as witnesses over and over and over the same pattern again, the likelihood of his being convicted is that much greater. I know a person is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty,
mm-hmm.
but there's too much information that is repetitive about his MO.
Oh, about Cosby.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the interest, there's a couple things about this particular case that weigh well or weigh not well for each side. Number one, the contention that it was politically motivated, that the man who's the prosecuting attorney was elected to this position because he was critical of the attorney, the state's attorney or whatever, who didn't file the charges back in 04 or whenever it was. And the other thing is that she didn't report it until a year later. On the other side, the fact that she is a lesbian.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a lesbian. And that she totally negates his side, the defense's contention that it was consensual sex and that and she was fully interested in being involved. And I think this one makes it, I don't know, there may be other accusers, other of the 50 accusers. And I say if there's 50 accusers, there's another 150 that never came forward on it. It's really going to be an interesting case to follow because it has always been noted from the beginning, there have never been criminal charges filed against this man. And now there have. And maybe if there are others where the, as you say, the statute of limitations has run its course, maybe this will give other women courage enough to say, all right, I'm going there. I'm going to file criminal charges. Because my sense is that this man has been a criminal for decades.
And who is Camille? In my mind, I keep going.
Oh, my God.
Who is Camille that, you know, unless he lied to her about where he was that night and he spent the night,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is her home. That he invites somebody. Have you ever been invited to someone's house at 9 o'clock?
At that night? No.
Right there.
Right.
Lesbian or not, I'd have my antennas up.
Right.
But, I don't know.
And that was part of his power, too, that many of the women looked and said, oh, wait a minute, he's such a good guy. He's such a nice guy. He's so famous. He's married. Sure, I can go to his hotel room. For all these reasons, that makes it a totally non-threatening situation. And
he's been so married. He's been so representative of great marriage, both fictionally
right.
and, you know, clearly through all of this.
Right. And the did you see the attorney when she appeared on, I think it was Today Show or Good Morning America?
Mm-mm.
Female attorney, which I'm sure was weighed about how that would play. Very, very bright, very well spoken, and she brought up the political thing, and she brought up, and I wasn't aware of this. She said that Mr. Cosby is technically blind, and so he was kind of led into the courtroom. If you saw those videos, she was on one side of him, and somebody else was on the other side of him.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, sympathy for the client. I think he may have even had a cane. There was a little missed step, and I'm so cynical.
Remember, he's an actor.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. I have zero sympathy. Zero sympathy. I can't imagine what Camille Cosby is living with. I just can't imagine.
She's made her deal with the devil.
Well, as 815 texter says, my husband's theory is that Bill Cosby has been dragging his wife throughout the years, whether she is aware of it or not. Yikes. Ooh, that's kind of creepy.
Kathy, my call screen went down, so you...
I'll keep an eye on it. I will keep an eye on the text screen, and while I'm doing that, we'll also do this. Kathy and Judy back. We were just talking about this ongoing story about Bill Cosby, who has finally been criminally charged in one of the sexual assault cases.
And whether or not we should end the statute of limitations
crimes. One of our texters from 574 says, sounds like you've convicted Bill Cosby.
Yep.
Yeah. Another one says, in Bill Cosby's mugshot, his right eye is grayish and cloudy, which indicates really developed cataracts in that eye. Why wouldn't a person like Bill Cosby have had cataract surgery? I mean, it's such a common...
Right.
It's such a common surgery.
But he may have something else that... I mean, it isn't impossible that he could be legally blind. I'm legally blind.
Right. Well... And 818 says, this expression just, I don't know why this expression always cracks me up. Bill Cosby will burn in hell. Oh, okay. Well, I guess you've convicted him, too. All right. This is Katie. Hey, Katie, where are you on this?
Yes, I'm in Rockford, Illinois. Happy New Year, girlies.
Okay,
thank you.
Moving right on.
I don't
don't feel sorry for Camille at all. Don't tell me she don't know what's going on. Where there's smoke, there. If there was just one woman, but come on. I mean, she's not a stupid woman. She's
I don't feel sorry for her.
Money. I feel sorry for their children and their grandchildren because of the name, you know, because up until all this broke out, they were proud of their grandpa and their dad, and my heart aches for the kids and the grandkids.
That's a good point. They've had.
I think he's just a dirty old pig. And did you notice that he always picked on white women, except for a couple? They're always these, you know, young white girls.
I'm not sure what that has to do with it, but
somebody on I don't know one show, CNN or something. I saw some anyway. Somebody said that he liked. Mostly the white blondes. He was attracted to them. A lot of people he would flirt with, but, you know, it never went any farther, and they would just write him off as a dirty old man, you know?
Right.
Which I think he is. I think he's sick. And I hope he pays. And I think they should, if it goes 50 years and you want to bring charges, if you can prove it, you know, God bless you.
Well, it is hard to prove after 50 years.
And do you know there are 500,000 rape kits that have not
been processed.
Processed.
Right.
You
know,
isn't that terrible? Yeah, because of the money. And I want to tell you something real quick when you're talking about names. My grandma came from Hamburg, Germany, and all the Germans settled in Muscatine and Davenport, Iowa. And their next door neighbor, he was a doctor, and their last name was Pig, P-Y-G-G.
Oh,
they named their kids, I'm a pig, he's a pig, she's a pig, you're a pig. I didn't believe it. I said, oh, grandma.
What's the matter with them?
That was their name. Can you believe that? That's
no.
The worst thing I've ever heard.
A turn-of-the-century urban legend. If I ever heard one. Yeah, that's a tough one. Well, Katie, thanks for the call.
Take care. Happy New Year, girls.
Thank you.
You too.
And this is Jean. Hi, Jean.
Hi. What infuriates me is that it took so many women, a couple of dozen to come forward before some portion of the population finally accepted the fact that they were telling the truth.
Drove me nuts. I think most of us knew nothing about this for years. It wasn't until that African-American comic last year made some comment about it that all this information started coming out. I didn't know Bill Cosby was a serial rapist until all these things came out in the last year. It's not anything that I'd ever heard of and was ignoring. Had you heard about it before?
No, I think it was limited to showbiz circles, particularly probably the people on the stand-up circuits and stuff.
Right, exactly,
you know, That might have been the connection, but even Whoopi Goldberg held out.
Isn't she still supporting him?
No, she turned.
She finally did.
She turned.
Okay.
I think somebody else would be more accurate about that, but I'm very certain that she's at least backed off the backing of him.
Okay, yeah.
You know, why would women humiliate themselves unnecessarily and put themselves up to public criticism if they weren't telling the truth?
Exactly.
You know, unless they expected to collect millions or something, and they don't.
That's a good point.
Right. From area code 224, I was a flight attendant. See these things pop in and we lose them. She said she was a flight attendant in 1970-something, and 36 years ago, I had Cosby on a flight. He invited me for dinner. Thank goodness I said no. Interesting. Yeah, thank you, Jean.
You're welcome.
This is Fran. Hi, Fran.
Hi. My thing is that it should be eliminated, statutes of limitation on rape, because you have so many rape kits that are not processed, and when they finally get around to it, then it's, oops, sorry, too late, because they don't take crime against women seriously. I think the culture as a whole has to change their attitude.
Yeah. Accusations being made against victims are not uncommon, unfortunately.
My sister went to college with a girl. She was gang raped, and her own father said to her, it would have been better off if they would have killed you.
Oh, well, and certainly there are cultures now where a woman who is raped is considered the criminal.
Spoiled goods, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fran, thank you for the call.
There is a piece of good news.
What's that?
Since this case has come to light, the number of women willing to report rapes is rising rapidly. It's called the Cosby effect.
Good
news on a bad news story.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, 312-981-7200 from 818. Do you think he will make the other guys in jail laugh? because I never thought Bill Cosby was that funny. I never...
No, but I don't think he'll be welcome in jail.
You know, the way he talked and Jell-O pudding. And I just never got that he was that funny a guy.
I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to be particularly well-received in prison. And too bad.
Well, he'll probably be segregated in a senior prison. I don't think... I know that...
They have senior prisons?
Yes. I know that in Illinois, I had a friend who was involved in prison reform, and she would visit many of the prisons around the state. And she went to one not far from where I lived in Princeton, and it was all old guys.
And so we could go to the old... We would only go to the old girls' one if we did something bad.
I don't know. Because in Orange is the New Black, isn't the cook? Isn't Red...
Yeah.
Like as old as us? I don't know.
Oh, easily.
I just know she said one time when she went to visit one of these prisons, there was a guy sitting in a wheelchair, an old guy sitting in a wheelchair. She said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he looks at her and says, "How do you think I'm doing?" So anyway, from 224, why would a woman ever go into a man's hotel room alone? Well, I don't know.
See, blame it on the victim.
Exactly. Study is being done to show the police do not believe the victim because of trauma. Victims cannot accurately report.
Well, she's had almost 12 years to, you know, deal with the trauma.
Well, and I think for most of the women who have been victims of Bill Cosby, I think that at least for the part that they were conscious... The part leading up to it, they remember what preceded their being unconscious. So, yeah, anyway. Bill Cosby is not going to jail. Stop gloating, says 816. Oh, that's interesting. Well, I guess it depends on whether or not he has a jury trial. Right. Whether he has a jury trial or a bench trial. I'm not exactly sure how that works. Well, anyway, more serious and business-like things will be addressed in the next hour with
Amy,
with our girlfriend Amy Guth. Hey, Amy.
Hello.
What's going on in the Wintrust Business Lunch today?
Well, we're talking about all kind of good stuff, including we're talking about the big business of the princess stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Glidden has princess-themed paint, and there's shoes and toys and clothes and all these things. But Mattel and Hasbro have a little shakeup going on, so the princess industry might be changing a bit. So we're going to
interesting.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about with Zach Greenberg from Forbes, he's an entertainment reporter, all about some predictions for the year ahead in the music industry. Because as we look more at streaming and how artists are paid, there's a lot to that topic. So we're going to unpack that a little bit, and that's what we're going to do.
And it is worth noting that Amy Guth is one of the 15 Chicago women who owned 2015. That's great. What a neat honor for you.
Thank you. I was so excited to be on that list
with
some awesome ladies.
And well-deserved.
Thank you.
All right.